Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz and the readings are taken from Mark chapter 1 verses 1 to 8 and the letter of 2 Peter 3 verses 8 to 15. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
Readings. The first reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. John the Baptist prepares the way for the Son of God. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 2 Peter 3, verses 8 to 15. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will come and bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you, with the wisdom that God gave him. This is the word of the Lord.
So I think there couldn't be a better day than to have baptism this morning and think about Advent in the sense of looking back. And as Richard says, it's also about the present and it's about the future, the past, the present, and the future. And it's all around the coming of Jesus. The coming of Jesus in a baby. The coming of Christ in a baby Jesus. The coming of Jesus in our heart today, and the coming of Jesus in Peter's heart and of all those who have responded to God's prompting and calling, but also the coming of Jesus, the coming of Christ at the end of time. So last Sunday, we've across the world, I think I'm right, there we go, there should be one, no, I'm doing the wrong thing again, sorry, I'm messing up your thing, no, I'm giving you, there we go, I'm keep talking, that's difficult, my wife always says, you don't talk enough, so I'm going to try to keep talking. Well, last Sunday, we've Christian around the world, we have entered that season of Advent, which is that time of expecting, waiting, preparing. We're looking back at the events that took place 2,000 years ago, the birth of Jesus. We're looking forward, preparing ourselves to his promise and certain return. But we're also pausing and are thinking, where am I with my walk with God, with Jesus? You might know that the word Advent comes from a Latin word, Adventus, which is coming or arrival. And you can't find that in the New Testament because it's written in Greek. That word in Greek is parousia, which is referring really actually to the second coming, the coming of Christ, when heaven and earth will be fully restored and coming together. So coming of Christ, the physical coming of Christ in the birth of Jesus, that's God incarnate, the promise of his return, when God will be all in all, the coming together of God's reality, the heavens, and our reality, earth, in an amazing transformation that we can't even start imagining. But it's also is the reception of Jesus in our hearts. For anyone who has, like Peter, responded to his message in trust and obedience. And that's what we have in our readings. In our first reading, we have this good news of God's initial coming. And Mark is the gospel of excitement. He's very short. He goes from one event to the other. And so right at the beginning, he writes that it is all about the good news, the beginning of the good news. And that good news is centered around a person, Jesus. And he gives the title right away, Messiah or Son of God. And that title is the Hebrew equivalent of the Lord or Kyrios, which would be for the Greek. And immediately they would have understood that's the one that was predicted in the Old Testament, the one we were waiting for. And then he moves on to another passage in Isaiah, speaking of a messenger. And we know about John the Baptist. John the Baptist who baptized with water, who brings and asks people to come back to God, to follow his way once again, and to receive forgiveness. But he says, that's the only thing I can do. I can just encourage people to do that. But one is coming who can truly transform people from the inside out by giving forgiveness and by empowering them to live a godly life through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've prayed for you, Peter, as you've received God's grace and forgiveness and new birth, that you will be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. God's very presence, he lives now in you, will enable you to live a godly life. That's his first coming. What about the second coming in our other reading? There we speak about a delay. And if the people of the first century felt, well, I thought Jesus would come sooner, what about us now, 2,000 years ago? And there is a great danger with all the big numbers that we now discover about how long it might have taken for our whole universe to come into being and for planets to form and for lives to... We speak of billions and billions of years, and we are in danger to think, well, we can wait. Might take another 1,000 years, 2,000, who knows? But here we are reminded that God is not slow. Yes, a day for him is like 1,000 years or 1,000 years like a day. Time for him is of a different kind. But we should not see the delay as an excuse for a lack of following him. Or we shouldn't see it as he is really delaying because God is slow. No, we should see him as an excitement, as a time when grace is open to all. God, he says, is patient. He doesn't want anyone to miss out on what he is planning to do. He doesn't want anyone to miss out, to perish. He wants everyone to come to their sense, to repent, to turn to God, and to receive that life from above, that new birth. The Lord is not slow, and we have a work to do. As those who have been responding to his message, we are now God's ambassador to tell others, it's still time to turn to God. He loves you. He died for you in and through Jesus Christ, made available forgiveness, reconciliation, and a rescue. He wants you to take part in his future. And so this morning, we are reminded through the baptism, through Peter, that Jesus still come in people's hearts today. And maybe God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, but you're a little bit far from God. You feel that you might have kind of left a little bit that walk, persistent walk with God. Or maybe you feel that God is calling you today. It is always God who calls. It's always God who makes the first step. In the service of baptism, we heard the words of Jesus. Jesus who says, no one can see God's ruling, that's God's kingdom, God's reality, without being born a second time, or being born from above, or experiencing a spiritual birth. What does it mean? Well, we're all born physically, and no one chooses that. It's a gift. Our lives, our physical life, is a gift from our parents. And the same way, our second birth is a gift, a spiritual birth. It's a gift of God made available through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why he came, to make a way for all of us to be reconciled. It is Jesus and only him who has conquered the two big powers that make us stuck in life. The powers of disobedience, we call the power of sin, a life that is self-centered, and the powers of death. Only him conquered that. And it is only him who can call us out of darkness into his marvelous light, we've been reminded today. He calls us to hand over our lives and to learn to follow him. And to follow Jesus means forsaking, turning away from all that distort, twist, or misrepresented God's character, who he is, and his intention and purpose. And to rise to this new life of walking with him. And that call is renewed every day for all of us. Jesus called me and you today to come to him. That means to acknowledge when we do wrong, those things that create a barrier between God and between others, and to leave them behind. And that means also to acknowledge that Jesus is the only one who can rescue us. He is our Lord. And that word, Lord, or Kyrios, or Messiah, it's very difficult because we're not used to, you know, we don't have an emperor, we don't have a king. Well, we have a king, but he's not a governing king. We have a prime minister, but we might feel quite distant to him. And, you know, kind of the idea of obedience might be a bit strange. So maybe that idea of Lord is to think about the best teacher that you ever had. As a kid, we believed our teacher. Everything the teacher would say is kind of the truth. And when we come home and our parents, and I feel that dilemma sometimes, my children come and say, my teacher said, and I said, well, and it's hard. But maybe that idea of Lord is, Jesus is my teacher, my exclusive, my final teacher. He has the word of life. That's why we were reminded in the baptism, he is the way. So to find my way in life, I need Jesus as my teacher. He is the truth. To know about truth, about real life, Jesus, and he is the life. He can give me life in all its fullness. Peter, you've made that declaration today, a declaration of faith. And you've asked to be baptized to show that your trust now is in those promises of God, the promises of forgiveness, the promises of help and strength. And when that happens, God makes a covenant. And that word covenant is much stronger than a contract. It's not just a contract. It's a bond that can't be broken. It's a seal. And oh, it's working again. Thank you very much. There we go. I have my seal. I can show you the seal. Again, we're not used to that anymore. You know, you have this letter and you put a seal and you know if it's broken or not. And it can't be broken because God has put the seal and He's protecting that. And what is that seal? He puts a seal on us, we read in 2 Corinthians, and gives us the Holy Spirit. That's the very life of God. That's new birth. And He brings that into our hearts as a pledge, as a seal. It's like a security deposit to guarantee the fulfillment of His promise of eternal life. This morning you might be a little bit discouraged. You might feel distant. But if you gave your life to God and He said, open your eyes and you know who God is and that Jesus is the Savior. He has sealed you with His Holy Spirit. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with Him. The yes of Jesus. We find that in the Message translation. In Him, it's God's yes and our yes together, gloriously coming together in Jesus. God says yes to us, to His world, through Jesus. And we respond when we say yes. And God then make a covenant with us. God affirms us. And I think that's where we need to affirm each other, in the fact that we are God's people, God's daughter, God's son. That's our real identity, loved by God. He makes us sure that we know we are His. He knows us by name, by His Spirit. He has stamped us with His eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what is to come. And so Advent, we look back at Jesus who came to save us. We look to the future also, and that means we make ourselves ready by exercising our will and our thinking to live what Peter says here, holy and godly lives. What does it mean to live a holy and godly life? Well, if you know that, you know, you've been called to be part of the Exeter, I have to say that, part of the Exeter rugby team, you know. Your holy calling is to do all you can to be the best possible player of the Exeter team. So Christians are called to be the best we can to reflect God's intention and purpose. That's what it means to be holy. We are on God's team. And it will be different for each of us. Our calling will be different. Our circumstance will be different. But we need to do the best we can to reflect God's character, God's intentions, and God's purposes in our families, in our community, in the life of this church, and wherever God sends us. That's what it means to be holy. And also, we are put together in a family because we can't do that on our own. As we make ourselves available to God, as we wait for His second coming, we also come regularly to this place of worship to be with one another, to strengthen one another, to help one another. Community of faith is where we can learn, where we can pray, where we can worship, where we can find acceptance, where we can be challenged and encouraged. And then we said, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that guides us, that strengthens us, that intercedes, prays for us, that enables us, that convinces us at times, that can deliver us, that can comfort. And then we need to learn from Scripture. That's what you do when you go to home groups or life groups, when you take your time in the morning or in the evening or during the day with Scripture. You learn and you digest inwardly Scripture. You pray, you talk to God, you confess you want to walk with him. So Advent is looking back, is celebrating the presence of Jesus in your life and in the life of this community. And it's looking forward, making ourselves ready for his coming. If you've done Lectio 365, you have this wonderful prayer this morning. I'm just going to finish that with the prayer. It says, "Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son to save me. May the hope of Jesus be born again among us this season of Advent. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will come again, that all the kingdoms of this world will be your kingdom, and that every eye will see it. We long for you to return and make everything new. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh today, that the life of Christ may be born again in me, now and in the week to come. Amen."
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.